That's the Sultans of String with Road to Kafamishki from their wonderful album Symphony. And it's my great pleasure to welcome to Folk Roots Radio today, Chris McCool. How are you doing today, Chris?
Great, and great to be here, Jen.
Wonderful to have you join us. I absolutely love the Symphony album. I think it's got an incredible feel to it. Now, you are coming to the Hillside Festival this year. That takes place July 24th to 26th. Out at Guelph Lake, but what I'd like to do is to talk a little bit about your music generally, and I always like to start by asking you how you got into music.
Well, I play violin in the band, and I started, like a lot of violin players, playing Suzuki violin when I was 7 or 8 years old, playing in a big group with a bunch of other kids, and that was really a fantastic way to sort of kickstart getting interested in music. My mother plays piano, and so it was very natural for us to have music in the house, and I'm so grateful for that as well. I think I could probably sing a scale before I could talk because of my mother pounding away on the piano all the time, and also teaching a bit in the home. Then as I got older, I was taking classical violin lessons, which of course can take years to unlearn once you want to start playing other styles. And later on, picked up guitar and started writing my own songs, singing my own songs. And it's about maybe 10 years ago now that I met Kevin Liberté, co-founder of Sultans of String. And I heard him playing guitar, warming up on one of our early gigs that we had together where we were playing jazz standards or something. He was warming up and playing this rumba flamenco rhythm. You know, you can think Gypsy Kings or Jesse Cook there. And I was like, what is that? That sounds amazing. And he said, that's rumba flamenca. That's the best rhythm around. And I learned pretty quickly that you can take any song idea and put it to a rumba rhythm and it sounds better. Just gives it so much energy. And then we started exploring other music together, gypsy jazz, Arabic rhythms. We met Chendi Leon, our percussionist, who brings in this whole world of Cuban music. And we met Drew Burston on bass, who brings in a lot of pop sensibilities from playing with artists like Chantal Kreviazuk and Melanie Doan, and as well as dozens of jazz acts that he's performed with. And we throw it all together in a big old pot and push musical puree, and out comes our music.
You know, it's a fascinating story that you take all of these different styles and as you say, really mix them up, mash them up. You come out with this incredible sound. I'm always intrigued by how people end up there because there often is the resistance to, even though you can acknowledge all of these wonderful styles of music can go together really well, somehow there's that feeling that, well, I should really just focus on this. Is it because all of the people that you started associate with had a similar feeling that they liked the idea of mixing this all together? Is that really what made you realize that, you know, instead of just like a one-off or having fun in a jam session, this is actually something that could become a band that, you know, you could eventually record with and then obviously take on the road?
I think that's a really good question. I think part of it is because, it's a personality thing. In every musical discipline, there are the snobs, right, that tell you, oh, you can't do that, and oh, you can't mix that with that, and you know, it exists in classical music and in jazz, in rock and pop, in all kinds of world music. And it is true, like, I have incredibly deep respect for those who maintain traditions and go really deep into a tradition. You know, like, we use rumba flamenca as a part of our palette of colors. When we're sitting down to write a song, we might try it with an Arabic vibe or a rumba rhythm or Cuban rhythms or whatever, and see which rhythm and which tonality fits the song the best. For us, it's all about serving the song and serving the music. I do have respect for those who go really deeply into a single tradition and carry those traditions on, and thank goodness there are many people who want to do that because it keeps those traditions going on for generations and generations. That's not what we do. What we do is a little bit more based in the ethic of the Canadian mosaic, where we're all living in Toronto now, for better or for worse, and you almost, like, you cannot help but be influenced by all the other musicians around you. And there are so many fantastic musicians in Southern Ontario. So, you know, for us, it's a real thrill to be able to bring in special guests that go deeply into traditions, like Bassam Bashira, our Palestinian oud player that we play with once in a while. And in this new record, we're working on with Anwar Khurshid, an amazing sitar player who's gone very deep into classical Indian traditions, but is really having a lot of fun mixing with Canadian world music bands and stuff. So for us, it's just a thrill because it keeps us all learning as musicians, learning from each other, and it keeps informing the music in really interesting ways.
And I imagine the live performance itself probably provokes you to think about different ways of doing things because, you know, you play as a five-piece, right? But then you have the option of playing in different formats beyond that.
That's right. We're modular, kind of like IKEA. Kevin and I will often do gigs just as a duo or as a trio with Drew, the bass player, or quartet. We add the percussionist, quintet. Sometimes we're playing with a Cuban horn trio. Sometimes we add a full symphony orchestra. Each of these different ways of executing the music lead to different feelings and a different sensibility about the music. Sometimes we're writing for a particular format, or sometimes we take a song and we just try it in all the formats and see how many ways it works. It's a lot of fun for us and keeps the music fresh for us.
Can we talk about some of the songs on Sultans of String? I mean, that's my lead into, I want to play something else from the album in a few seconds. We started with Road to Kafamishki. Can you talk a little bit about that piece?
Sure. Most people think that because my last name's McCool and I play violin or fiddle, that I must be Irish or Scottish and play lots of jigs and reels. But McCool actually would have been pronounced Mokhul in Kafamishki, Lebanon, where my ancestors are from. So a few years ago, my father had just turned 80, and we ran off to Lebanon. We landed in Beirut and hired an Armenian driver who used a long and winding road to Kafamishki, the tiny little village right in the middle of the country. And we basically started walking around the village looking for people that looked like my dad. It's like, hey, he looks like you, he looks like you. And about 5 minutes in, we found my father's closest living cousin that we never knew before. And it was really such an amazing encounter. And his wife made us a big Arabic feast there right on the spot. And then he said to us, do you want to see the house where your father or my grandfather grew up? And we said, of course. So we just walked down, you know, 5 minutes down the road in this village, and he showed us this old stone house where my grandfather grew up. Didn't look like it necessarily had electricity or running water, but it was a pretty awesome place for where it was, and had this great vineyard in beside the house, and it looked like it had been boarded up for about 100 years, which makes sense because my grandparents came over to Canada in 1903. My grandfather was a stowaway on a ship before he arrived in Canada and made a life here. So it was an amazing trip for me, and helped inspire that song that you heard.
You know, that's the neat thing about the way that you have structured the band and the concept behind it is there is just so much opportunity for exploring new things, whether that it's going back into the history of your ancestors and exploring their lives and their cultures, or, you know, moving in other directions with the people you play with. I'd like to play another song that's very interesting because it has a wonderful story about musicians giving back to the community tied up into it. And that's the song Josie. Can you talk about that and why ArtsCan Circle is important to you?
Yeah. So I've been on the board of ArtsCan Circle for maybe almost 10 years, and it's a really great organization. ArtsCanCircle.ca is the website. People can check it out. And it's, you know, we sent teams of artists up to high northern communities, indigenous communities. Some of them are above the tree line. They're so far north. And it's now operating through northern Ontario and Quebec and up the coast of Labrador. We send artists up there with bags of harmonicas and ukuleles. Sometimes we get donated instruments like guitars or keyboards. We leave them there in the communities. We do songwriting workshops with the kids in the schools and get them to tell their own stories and write their own songs. So it's really a wonderful way for the kids there to be really creative and to and also sometimes for the elders to recount some of their history. It's not just folkies going up there with guitars, but sometimes we have, you know, visual artists going up or professional puppeteers going up or professional storytellers, and they'll sometimes work with an elder to learn some of the traditional stories of the place they're in, and then weave that into, it could be a shadow puppet play with music along with it. It's really a fantastic creative exploration of the arts. I was on one of those trips a few years ago in Mishkigulgamang, high northern Ontario, and I was having lunch each day with an Ojibwe elder. Her name was Josie, and she was telling me how each spring she would bring her students into the bush and teach them how to fish and hunt and trap and set up tents in the middle of the night. And I thought that was really amazing of her to do that. And it was actually, it wasn't until the last day I was there on the Friday when I learned that Josie was completely blind. And I'd had no clue all week. She was just so strong and so present and, you know, looked right at me whenever she spoke with me and shook my hand and everything, and I really didn't realize it. And I really understood just how strong and amazing she was. So we wrote her a song called Josie.
Well, let's play that just now. This is Josie from the Sultans of String, from the wonderful album Symphony, and you're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall. That's Josie from the Sultans of String, from the wonderful album Symphony. My guest today on Folk Roots Radio is Chris McCool from the Sultans of String. We're talking about the music and also the fact that they are on the festival scene this summer. They have lots of dates coming up throughout the summer, and one especially of interest to people within the Guelph and Southern Ontario area will be the Hillside Festival. And what I thought I'd like to do now, Chris, is to talk a little bit about the live experience. We mentioned at the start of the interview that I think you talked about how you're, what did you describe it as? You were always like a modular band as the Sultans of String. will play with an orchestra. Obviously, symphony is recorded with an orchestra. But you also will play as a duo or as a 3-4-5 piece. Can you tell us a little bit about what people can expect when they see you at festivals through the summer months?
Sure. Well, because festivals are a great way to meet audiences and make new friends and audiences, it's so much fun for us. And one of the things that we really like to do is to have our audience get involved. So there's songs sometimes where they clap along, or one thing we do sometimes, especially at festivals, is we'll also do a show for young people. So at Hillside, for instance, we're playing on Sunday at Hillside. We're playing the Lake Stage at 8 p.m., but at 1 p.m. we're playing the Rainbow Stage, doing a show for kids and families. And that's a lot of fun for us because that's like audience participation on steroids. We get the kids up playing musical instruments from around the world that I bring with us. And we do a dance contest. We have them singing along, learning how to scat sing, and introducing a whole bunch of styles and instruments for the kids. So that's at 1 o'clock, and that's a treat for us because they're, you know, young people are a very honest audience. You know, they keep us honest too. You know, if they're not liking something, they'll just, you know, walk away. If they're loving it, they'll be right up there and want to jump on stage. So makes us perform at our peak form. And then we're performing it at festivals across Southern Ontario for the rest of the summer. We're playing at Hillside and then Stratford Summer Music. We're playing at Beaches Jazz Festival. And then we're off to California for a bit, and then Meaford and Midland. And then in the fall, we're into our CD release season. We've spent the last year making a record with Anwar Khurshid, the sitar player, and we're really excited about it. It's a real kind of East meets West kind of project. And I know we were talking a little earlier about those musicians who go deeply into certain traditions as opposed to sort of a scattershot approach. And this album that we're creating with Anwar is actually really fun because it might be the most focused in terms of diving a little bit into one vibe throughout the record. It's kind of where the music of the subcontinent meets Canadian pop sensibilities. So we called the album Subcontinental Drift.
And when is that album expected to be released?
Oh, we're releasing in September, and we've got a series of concerts through Southern Ontario. We're playing at 19 on the Park, Port Hope, North Bay, Trinity St. Paul's in Toronto is our big Toronto CD release on October 30th, Aeolian Hall in London on November 7th, Meadowvale Theatre in Mississauga November 13th, and then we're taking it on the road to Calgary and through the Northern U.S.
And I should mention, if people want to check out all of the dates for the Sultans of String, head to their website at sultansofstring.com. I'd like to try and squeeze in another piece of music before we wrap our interview today. The piece I thought would be good to play is Luna, because it's a very beautiful piece and also has an interesting story. And I think it's also a favorite of the live show, isn't it?
Yeah, it's one of those songs where people love to clap along once it starts hitting the fast part. Music for us is a way for us to tell stories about the people we meet and things that we care about. And Luna is one of my personal favorites. Luna is a killer whale who got separated from his pod a few years ago in the Nootka Sound off Vancouver Island. And just before Luna showed up, there was a native elder, Chief McKenna, who said, "When I pass away, I'm going to come back to you in the form of a killer whale and bring to you traditional teachings." And sure enough, just 4 days after Chief McKenna passed away, Luna showed up in the Nootka Sound. And there's great video if you go up online, check it out, of Luna swimming alongside the Dega canoe and calling out to the Aboriginal people. And we were so moved by this story that we wrote and recorded this song as a tribute to Luna the whale. And then when we were making our official video for it, we were lucky enough to meet a videographer who was really into Luna and lent us some incredible footage of the actual Luna whale that we could put in our video.
Let's play that just now. This is Luna from the Sultans of String from the wonderful album Symphony. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall. That's an excerpt from Luna from the Sultans of String. Our guest today on Folk Roots Radio is Chris McCool. The band will be on the festival scene all summer. They also have a CD release for a new album coming up this fall. And again, as I mentioned before, if you want to learn more about the band, check out sultansofstring.com. You know, the thing, Chris, when we're having this conversation, it sounds like you have so much incredible potential with this project. You know, again, because of working with different people, the opportunity to bring an orchestra in. I imagine that it probably almost makes you giddy some days when you think about all the things you could potentially do with this band as you move forward.
You're exactly right. I think what I tried to do when we started building this band from the ground up was make it something that would be really interesting for me personally, to be able to explore all the kinds of music that I love, but also to be able to bring in special guests that keep the music alive. And really the sky and the imagination is the limit with what we can do. So, you know, we made a few albums where we were bringing in basically all our favorite world music artists as special guests. And then we did the album with the symphony. And now we're just about to release this collaboration album with Anwar. And we're already into an album number 6. And it's exciting for us because we can keep on renewing ourselves and keep growing as artists. And as long as I can keep doing that, I'll be a happy man.
Now, I got to ask you about whether you've considered looking at you know, genres like hip-hop or acid house or dance music. The reason I bring this up is there's a folk band from the UK called The Demon Barbers that sent me their most recent CD. I think it's called Sounds in the Kitchen or something. I'd have to check it again. But they basically actually wove in hip-hop into this Celtic music and actually hangs together pretty well. I was a little skeptical when I first got the CD. But actually, after listening to it, I thought, oh, you know, that actually works. And I think this goes back to what you said before, is that, you know, sometimes it's just actually playing with things, you realize they work. But have you ever thought of doing anything like that? We talked about how if you're at a festival, you know, being able to play a children's stage and involve children. I wonder whether there's been ever thought to try and involve slightly older, younger people.
I think what's most important to us, and I think what our music fans appreciate, is that we try and be as honest as possible, that we love exploring, but it has to be something that comes from within rather than, you know, sort of some idea like, oh, well, this, you know, collaborating with this artist or with this genre, well, maybe that'll break us into a larger audience or get us more CD sales or something like that. And instead, it all gets generated by what we're inspired by. So if we met an artist on the road that was playing hip-hop and we were thrown on the same stage together, which happens sometimes, that's one of the beautiful things about festivals, is sometimes you're on a workshop stage and you end up collaborating with artists that you never would have thought of or dreamed of before. Like, if something happened like that organically, absolutely, we would do it. You know, it has to come naturally, and we have to always be loving what we're doing, because that's part of the contagion of music in a positive way. You know, seeing artists really enjoying what they're doing and grooving off each other.
So do you think that the future will be continuing with the Sultans of String and exploring, as you say, new styles as they present themselves?
Yeah, I mean, there's unlimited directions that the band can go in terms of collaborating. There's the entire world that we have to explore musically, and you know, one of my pet ideas is possibly going to Turkey, because I have a musician friend who has a real connection there with some of the Turkish Roma, and what an amazing collaboration that would be. We're also in the middle of making an album, which will be released 2 albums from now, which is a Christmas album, but kind of a multicultural approach to that. And there's a fantastic oud player in Montreal I would love to write with. Really, the skies and the imagination is the limit in the directions we can go in, and that's what makes this such an invigorating project, that it just keeps on growing and evolving and keeping true to its roots, which is writing songs about predominantly Canadian stories and the people we meet and stories that touch us, but also keeping an eye out to this great big world we live in with all its fantastic musical styles.
And I imagine you still get requests from local orchestras that would love to have you join them for a performance?
That is so much fun for us. We're performing with North Bay this fall, and Cathedral Bluff Symphony Orchestra, a community orchestra in Toronto. And this, the past year has been a whirlwind with performing with Vancouver and Edmonton and the TSO and about a dozen local orchestras in Ontario. For us, it's such a treat because it breathes a whole other dimension into the music. The woman who did the arranging, Becca Pellett, has done arranging for IMAX and Hollywood films. So she really has a sense of the cinematic, and it's a treat for us to hear our music with these symphony musicians playing along with us, and they can read anything you put in front of them. So really, she comes up with these great imaginative parts, and the classical musicians can execute all of it. It's pretty astounding.
Well, look, it's been great pleasure to talk to you today. Remember, the Sultans of String will be at this year's Hillside Festival. That runs from the 24th to the 26th of July. They will be there for the Sunday, which is the 26th. Before we finish today, Chris, what I'd like to do is to play one of my favorite songs on the album. And I think this is an album that to me really embodies the fantastic sound of the Sultans of String and what makes them such a great live band, and that is Monty's Revenge. Can you tell us a little bit about that song?
Sure, that's a tune that's inspired by the most famous Hungarian Csárdás tune of all time that's actually written by an Italian. The tune is called Csárdás and written by Vittorio Monti. And so when we were listening to that piece and thinking, oh, wouldn't it be fun to do kind of our own take on that style of music, we called it Monty's Revenge. And one of the fun parts for me is when we play this live, the audience just loves to clap along, and it really drives the second half. It's a lot of fun.
Let's play that now. Chris, I want to thank you again for spending the time to talk to us today. Remember, if you want to learn more about the Sultans of String, if you want to check out their dates, head to sultansofstring.com. And we'll leave you with Monty's Revenge from the wonderful album Symphony. And thanks again, Chris.
Thank you so much.